Thank the Lord to be here today. Thank the Lord for our service already this morning, the way He's blessed and been with us. I desire His help very much, in great need of Him right now. And so I appreciate your prayers, and if you don't mind, we'll just go ahead and look to Him and pray together. Dear God, we thank You for this opportunity to open Your Word. God, we understand that it's Your Word, Lord. It's not ours to use however we feel like using it, God, but it's meant to be used by Your Spirit to speak to our souls. God, we pray You would bring Your Word alive and speak to us now and help us to be able to receive it by Your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I want to talk a little bit about a word this morning. Now, I want to put a disclaimer out there. I'm going to talk to you about a Greek word that the Lord, a while back, helped me to run across the definition to it, and it's used in our Bible, and it's been a real stepping stone in my life and also something that's helped me, I feel like, to understand His Word better. So I'm going to share it with you, and I'm not going to tell you right now necessarily what it's mainly translated as. A lot of you are going to know because this is something I've used in messages before, but the word is all right. Now, I'm not going to pretend I'm a scholar. I am not. I have a Strong's lexicon, and it's been very much a blessing to me in my life to help me understand the Word of God more, and that's where I found this. All right, so the word, I believe, is pronounced charis, might be charis. But we're going to look at some verses here that contain this word. And so to start with, let's turn to 1 Peter, the second chapter. All right, and I want to draw something for you on the board. With the help of the Lord, we have a picture to draw this morning, and we'll add to it as we go. But I want to just draw a heart this morning to start with. All right, and now let's look into the Word of God here. 1 Peter, the second chapter. In the 18th verse, it says, "Servants, be subject," which would mean submit yourself, "to your masters with all fear." And this word here would mean respect, honor, all that that's due them as an authority figure over you. "Not only to the good and the gentle, but also to the froward." Well, this would mean froward would mean somebody who's just not really very nice. They're in authority and they're abusing that position, and what they're doing is not just to you. It's not just, and there's no reason to really put up with it except God tells you to. All right? And it says, you know, let's just think about that for a minute. If I have a boss, and I've had several bosses, and when a boss does what I like for them to do, it's real easy to submit to them. I'll be honest. I can happily submit to a boss who treats me the way I want to be treated, who answers my questions the way I want them answered, who does what I want them to do when they do it, and just really lines up with what I think they ought to be. And I can submit to that person pretty easy. That's not really called submission, by the way, but we'll use that word right there. I can submit to them, and I can obey them, and I can do whatever they want me to do as long as they do what they're supposed to. You know, when I have a boss who doesn't line up the way they're supposed to, I have some struggles. And you know what? I know why I have some struggles. It's because in the nature of the way God created me, He did not necessarily create me to happily and joyfully put up with a boss who doesn't do what I think they ought to do. That's not the way I was created as a human. Some of us have more struggles than others, but the truth is all of us in our heart have that same place where that's a struggle. That's not something that comes naturally. You get one come along and telling you stuff to do and not treating you the way you feel like you'd be treated, the reaction you have is not one of submission. The natural reaction we have is rebellion, deviousness of I'm going to figure out a way to get back at them without getting in trouble, but I'm going to get them back, you know. I'm not going to do what they're wanting me to do. You know what, I'll go do it, but I'm not going a step beyond. I'm not going to do anything extra. You know, what are the thoughts that come to our mind? Why do they come to us that? Why is it that we're that way? Why aren't we just like a people who say, you know what, they're not being very nice, and that just makes me all happy, and I'm just ready to do whatever they want to tell me to do. Well, you know what? I wasn't there when Adam and Eve were in the garden. Maybe at that point, we were that way. But something happened. Sin entered the world, and there was a change in the heart of man. And it no longer was something that was innocent. It no longer was something that was unselfish, if it ever was. It was something that wants its own way and its own things. And something that is colored and discolored by the sin of this world and hides all the things that possibly could be done good from it. It creates a flaw in it. It creates something that when that person comes along and tells you to do something and they haven't been very nice to you, it's a struggle to follow the Word of God naturally in who we are. Thank the Lord, there is a way you can do it. And that's what we have the burden of the Lord for this morning. But we want to make it clear that that's not by nature to us. By nature, we're not going to satisfy what the Word of God is telling us to do. Even now as a Christian, I am placed in a place where God has given me the ability, has opened the door to me, but it's not natural to who I am still. This is the inbred sin, that part beyond just being washed up of all I have done, that part that still resides in me and still must be dealt with, the part that created the verse that Paul said, I die daily. This is where that comes from, and this is why it has to happen. Yes, we've been washed clean. Yes, we've been born again. Yes, we still have that nature that must be put on the cross. That must be done, because if it's not, something must be done about it in order for us to be able to comply with this verse. Because if you just come down here and you just get saved, you're just going to go out there and you're just going to fall again, is what's going to happen. And it's going to happen over and over again. There must be something that can make a difference, that can help me comply with what this verse is saying. All right? Thank God there is. There is something besides us. There is something that can happen to this heart and that can go with me day by day, every day of my life, and can enable me to have the peace of God in my life. To have those things, as we were singing those songs, and I thought, well, I don't see the words maybe correlating to, but I see that that's what this gives us. The songs that we've sung this morning about the joy, the peace, the happiness, it comes from this thing that we're going to talk about this morning that gives us the power to not just be who we are by nature. Thank God for salvation. Thank God that He made it complete and He gave us what we need. All right, let's get on to that just a little bit. And it goes on and it says here, for this is thankworthy, meaning this is good, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongly. For what glory is it when you be buffeted for your faults, you take it patiently? And this was another point I want to bring out. When I mess up, there's a little part of me that goes, well, I mean, they're not being real nice, but it's my fault. But when I've done what I'm supposed to, and they're just not being nice, they're blaming maybe something that I didn't do. If you buffeted for your faults, and you shall take it patiently. But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is charis. This word here is not the word that charis, or whatever this, however you say this Greek word, it is not the word that's normally translated into our Bible. It's a different word, and we'll get to that in a minute, because it's going to open our eyes to something, I believe, with the help of the Lord. But in this case, it's translated as acceptable with God. I want to give you a little bit of what the definition of this Greek word is right now. A portion of the definition of this word talks about the divine influence on the heart and its reflection in the life. So there is something. Here's God. God is in heaven. Well, I'm sorry. Let's just go ahead and do it this way. The presence of God dwelling in heaven, there is a way that it has ability to come to this heart and influence it. Maybe this is the stripe right here that says, you know what, if I do wrong and they treat me bad, then I'll do what I'm supposed to. But if I've done right, I'm not putting up with it. That's not biblical. That's not what the Lord is telling us to do right here. That's something that is against the nature of God. That's something that there has to be a power to do something about if I am going to comply with what the Lord is telling me to, so that I can have His peace in my soul. There is something. This divine influence, what this is saying, has the power to erase these lines that would create sin in our life, that would cause us to fall short of the glory of God. It has the ability to erase that line so that now, instead of that, what God created us to be in His image, like He said, to behave as He would behave, can actually come out of our life where something else would have come out, saved without the grace of God, which that's not really possible, y'all, but anyways, you understand the point I'm trying to make. Without its working in my life day by day, this would have come right back out after God had washed me and made me clean. If I didn't have this working in my life, then when that situation arose, that line, that nature is still there, and that condition is what comes out, not who God is. But this word means the divine influence on the heart and its reflection in the life. So now the action that comes out looks like God. Thank the Lord. What else? What can I say? Thank the Lord. I am so thankful that He didn't just make a way where we're just forgiven, but He made a way where we can be clean. We can actually, the things that begin to come out of our life can begin to look like Him, because everything else is dirty. It's polluted. No matter how good you felt when you just acted the way you wanted to act, there's pollution in your life. And if it's not sin, it will be sin at some point if something isn't done about it. But praise God that there is something that can make a change in who I am by nature. And that the presence of the Lord, His influence, can reflect out of my life. I don't want to get too stuck here. That's amazing. That's absolutely amazing. You want a miracle? This is the miracle. This is what it's all about. All, thank God for everything He's ever done, every miracle He's ever done, but this is what it all was trying to get us to. That this miracle could happen in our life. And that He could actually be what's seen out of us. Us. We're not that good without Him. No, I don't care. There are some wonderful people. And I've met people, saved and unsaved, who have some wonderful things about them. But by nature, there's too many lines. There's too much that's not God. And it's going to come out. It will come out if there's not something to help erase those lines in our life. If you do well and suffer for it and you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow in His steps. Not just a sacrifice that washes us clean, but an example to be followed. You know what? When He was reviled, He reviled not again. This situation we're talking about this morning, if the Lord's in that same situation, let me promise you that He wouldn't act like we would without this. There were no lines in Christ's heart. And the example He set was one of purity, of peace, of love, of not returning retribution for wrongs committed to Him. We would be gone. This world wouldn't exist. It wouldn't have lasted very long at all if His example wasn't what it was. All right. So it says, Christ suffered for us, leaving an example that we should follow in his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. There was something different. And the message this morning is we can have that same thing in our life, because the Lord never inspired a single word in this Bible that's impossible to happen for us. He put it all there for us, for you. This is not something you're reading going, oh, look at all this that was happening out there. This was something created for you. And God didn't put anything in here that can't happen in your life. It's amazing. Yes, it seems impossible. Even now, as I've seen it happen in my life, I still view it as, this is amazing. This seems, I understand. But it happens. The Lord made it where it can happen. All right? So let's look over here in some other verses here in Romans, the 11th chapter. Please pray for me. We want to share just what the Lord has for us. All right. And we're just going to pull a couple of verses here from Romans. And speaking of this, there's a lot in here about how that there was the Israelites kind of rejected him, the nation, it was his own and everything. But then he's speaking of there was a remnant that did believe in Jesus out of all the Jews. There were some who did. All right. And it said, even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no more works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. That's a lot of, I confess, me and Paul have a hard time sometimes connecting, and I have to listen real closely, okay? But maybe we can look at this and pull out a little something here. And he's speaking of the fact that this salvation, it occurs by grace. Well, I'm going to let you in a little bit more on what this word is normally translated as in our Bible. Most of the time where you see this Greek word was used in the New Testament, most of the time it's translated as grace. And I will tell you this, with the exclusion of one verse in James, every single time you see grace in the New Testament, it is this word. Now, I know some people have heard me say this before, so you forgive me, but this is what the Lord has given me to share again. Every time you see the word grace, it's this word. Is that the definition that grace has been given in our world today in many cases? There is a lack of understanding as to what this word really means. And if we can really understand it, then we'll know how it is that the Lord actually makes a change in our life. It's by grace, by His grace, that I'm able to have these lines as I come and I face situation that God in His mercy brings to me when it's time and when I'm ready. He brings those situations to fire off that line. All right? I had some hopes and dreams and they just crashed down and my nature is just to react with anger. But God says, trust me, He has the grace that He can erase that line that would have caused sin in my life, or at the very least, whatever it would have caused would not have been like God. All right? I have another situation come up. I'm in a discussion and somebody just, we're having a discussion and they say something in a way that just really rubs me the wrong way. And I'm ready for something to come out of my life. God has the grace to erase this. And so on and so on until as we face these situations and God works on us through our life, we find that we truly are able to dial out to who we are and allow Him to be seen through our life. And it's by grace, not of works. When He speaks here of works, what He's talking about is all the works of the law, of the things they would do that God set up to teach us about this time of grace that we would live in, to help us understand. But in their minds, somehow, they had this idea that maybe they were going to be cleansed and saved by those actions that they took. And He's saying, there's something that was all pointing to all along. It's now here for you. And it's not by those things. We're fulfilling them. We're not racing them, but we're fulfilling them in Christ. And in this new salvation, you'll see spiritually the things you couldn't see by learning these things, that it's being applied to your life, and you're seeing the deliverance and all happening for you. All right? But it's not by those works. Jesus consumed all of that. But he consumed it so that his grace could be present in your life, and the morality of the law, the pureness of the law, the goodness of the law could finally be seen. The righteousness of the law could finally be seen out of your life because of grace, because of his ability to help us. And so that's what this verse is saying. If it's by grace, then no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then no more grace. One or the other is what's going to accomplish it. Thank God it's grace. Because if it was just the works, we're left with all these lines, and it's never going to work. We're never going to see the righteousness of God being manifest out of our life. I want to make a point here, too, to finish the definition of this word for you. All right, because there's some application in that. The whole definition of this Greek word is graciousness. So, basically, who God is. Grace, the grace of God. Graciousness of manner or act. Not just a cleansing, not just a forgiveness for sins, but actually the actions that come out of your life. All right? All right, so God's grace, it has an effect. It's an actual application. All right? Graciousness of manner or act, especially divine influence on the heart and its reflection in the life. So you see, there's a very specific meaning to this word. Ephesians 2. Ephesians, the second chapter, and the eighth verse. We have another verse here that's used a lot in the world today. And I bring these verses out. I feel like the Lord gave them to us to bring out because these are verses that are used to excuse my behavior from the lines that are on my heart, to excuse me. And it's such a conundrum, I don't know the right word for it, it's such a, is an oxymoron, something that appears, they're saying it's one thing, but it's actually another. I'm not a scholar, but it's such a thing that this verse is actually used to excuse the lines. People use this to excuse the lines in their life, when it's actually meant to show us that this is how it happens, that this is by this that those are erased, and this is what God set up for us. It says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of your work, of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Not by me, not by anything I was able to accomplish, but by the fact that I submitted myself to the Lord and allowed his grace, and then I continued to do that in my life day by day. I lived by the grace of God. In the mornings when I woke up, I sought the Lord for his grace, and as I go through the day, I seek him for his grace because I know I'm going to need it, because I know it's what's able to erase the lines of my life. His Holy Spirit is able to influence me and take care of that in my life. And so by that grace, I was saved. I tried and tried to do it myself. It's a failure. I have to be connected into the Lord. I can't have any of these things that we've heard about, that we've sung about this morning. I can't have a peace that passes the understanding, like Brother Rod said. I can't have a joy unspeakable. I can't have any of those things. It's all fake. Until I actually let the Lord come in and by his grace change who I am. Begin to erase those lines of my life by the situations that he allows me to face. You know, when you're irritated about the thing you're enduring, realize that's what God has brought into your life to help erase a line that would take you to hell if it was allowed to go in your life. Thank God for those situations. So it's by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship. And it's been used so much just to erase the fact that anything happens in our life. No, what it's saying is it's not by you. It's by grace, which is from God. So that we are his workmanship. Because now it's Him coming in and doing these things in our life, and we're submitting to Him, and it's only happening because we're living in submission to the Lord, desiring to follow His word, willing to face the circumstances that come in the way that He wants us to, and seek Him for the grace to be able to do what He's telling us to do in those situations. Then by that, His grace is able to work in our life, and He's able to create in us what He's wanted to all along. And if this doesn't happen in my life, then I will be lost. This is the only way to make it to heaven. This is the narrow way, the true way. Allowing the Lord to work in your life. If you don't, you will not make it. I don't care where you are right now. Hey, I've been living before the Lord. I was 17. It's almost 30 years now that I've been, almost 29 actually. I guess it's one more year. It's somewhere up there. All right? The Lord's given me a lot of success in life. As I face things, and don't misunderstand me, it's been struggles, but He's shown me victories as I've gone through those struggles and submitted to His hand and let Him work in my life. And the more I've learned to do that, the more success I've found. And if tomorrow I decide that that's enough and I'm just going to live like this the rest of my life, no, I'm not. No. It's still the grace of God that's going to enable me day by day to continue on this path and to erase the lines that God in His mercy hasn't even introduced into my life yet, because He knew I couldn't take it. He knew it would overwhelm me, like He talks about in His word, how He would not give the land to us overnight because the beast of the field would overcome you. That's talking about now us today, that there's things that God doesn't just say, boom, here it all is, because you couldn't take it. You couldn't handle all the situations it takes for you to go through and be willing to die out to who you are if God just put it all on you at once. It couldn't happen. But in His mercy, He brings us along like the good shepherd, leads us by still waters. He leads us in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake, for His glory and His honor. And in His mercy, He does that. And thank God for all He's done, but that's still the path to heaven. It hadn't changed for me because I've been living for Him for 29, 28 years, however long it's been. I have to go do the math later. Anyways, however long it's been, it doesn't change. That's the path to heaven for all of us. For the one who's just now hearing this today, and it's just maybe coming to your attention, and you're just starting out, we're on the same path. Guys, same thing in my life, your life. Don't think we've got past something and we don't have to do this anymore. We're all in this together. The Lord's working in us in the same way through His grace to manifest His righteousness and His purity and His holiness. And He is able to do that. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Get a hold of this, that He didn't say created in Adam. Created. No, because until Christ came, until Christ became the sacrifice for us, there wasn't this to happen. This work couldn't happen in our life. You know, I don't want to get too far off, but it talks about how people long for this day. Well, this is why, because they wanted to serve the Lord, but there wasn't a way made that those lines could really be erased in their lives yet, because Christ hadn't come yet in order to establish this way that His Holy Spirit could actually dwell in us, and if we're willing to submit to Him, He could erase the lines that manifest our ugliness. There is none clean. No, not one. There's none holy. All have turned away. That there's none of us that don't have these lines on our life, so to speak, that would push us, that would cause us to react in ways that are not right. But in Christ Jesus, He created a situation where we can be His workmanship. Thank the Lord. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works. See, it wasn't erasing works. It was just saying, here's how it's going to happen. It's by His grace, all right? Which God hath before ordained that we should walk in Him. I'm gonna walk back through this verse here just a moment, and I'm going to say it with some different words in there that are what these words mean in the Greek, okay? For we are His product, fabricated in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before set up in advance, that we should tread all around in them. He has made us His product, fabricated. And I know some others could explain that more than me who work with this kind of thing, but fabricated in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath set up of before time, way in advance, that we should walk all around in these good works. Oh, Lord, help us. The trick of the devil to say there's nothing that happens in our life, because that was the plan all along, that we would just walk in good works, tread all around in them, that they wouldn't just be a few in our life, and there wouldn't just be this struggle where there was, oh, I managed to do something then. I actually smiled that time at my boss, and there's a lot of anger in my heart, and there's a lot of hatred, but I put a smile on my face, and this doesn't even connect, and I'm not happy about this, but at least I'm doing that much. And you know what, if that's where you are, praise God for that much effort. God can help you that it can become something that's actually just taken out of your heart by this grace that He's given to us. Keep at it. Keep smiling. Do your best. I remember Brother Joseph said one time, somebody was telling him, but I fail because that kind of situation. I smile, but here it all is in my heart. He said, well, just do what you can do. Be sincere in that and trust the Lord to take you the next mile, to take you the next step, to enable, to help you, because that's what He said He will do. So keep the smile on your face and keep praying Him and realizing, Lord, help me die out to who I am. Help me let Your grace be seen through my life. Thank the Lord. He's before set up that we should walk all around in them. Thank the Lord. That's why it's so much fun to come together with people who love the Lord, who are letting His grace come out of their life, because we have a whole pile of just great things, of goodness, of love, of having, those are great things to enjoy. They come from a place. You can't fake them. There's no point in faking them. You can't make it. Your works aren't going to make it happen. But if you connect up to Jesus, you can have that same joy in your life. And if you're connected to Him, stay connected. That's the only way it can happen. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. Lord, help us. This is where Paul said, let's just back up a little bit to, let's back up to the 8th verse. And Paul is speaking of himself here as he's writing, and he is recognizing how he feels like he just came from a place where he was so much less than everybody else that was talking about Jesus and telling people about Jesus. And he says, and last of all, he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, and am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. I was in such a messed up place, it wasn't that I just wasn't listening, I was actually persecuting the children of God. His very workmanship in this world, I was going out and trying to stamp them out. I was in a horrible place, but by the grace of God, by His influence all my life, erasing all that was against Him and contrary to Him, by the grace of God, and doing it, let's make sure we say this clear, washed clean and forgiven for all I've done, but by the grace of God now, I'm laboring for Him. By the grace of God, by Him coming along day by day with me, and me being willing to submit to Him and yield to Him in all the situations I face, and no more just doing my thing like He was doing for a long time, but now letting the Lord work through my life. By the grace of God, I am what I am. You know what He was? An amazing child of God who gave his life to the Lord and was able to accomplish so many things for Him by the grace of God. Not by anything that he was able to accomplish, but because he laid down and let the grace of God come into his life and work. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than them all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. What is it this morning as a child of God that you don't think He can do? For you personally, or for a mission He has for your life, or whatever. You know, we are truly without excuse. If the divine influence of God can really come in my life, He can enable me to do whatever is necessary in my life, no matter where I stand today, and no matter how much I see the struggles that I have. If the Lord has called me to a place, whether it's personal in my spiritual walk, in a Goliath I'm facing for me personally, or it's a mission He has for me, Whatever it is, the grace of God can bring me through all of those places that I need to go in order for that to be accomplished in my life. That's what he did for Paul. Paul had a lot of things in the way. He had people who didn't just want to not listen to him. They wanted to run the other way. And these were the Christians. And then he had the other side that were wanting to kill him. Who was he going to talk to? But the grace of God led him in a path in his life where he was able to do the work that the Lord set before him. And I believe it's maybe, is it in Timothy or maybe it's in Thessalonians? No, it's in 2 Timothy where he says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have run the race. Hence is laid up for me a crown of righteousness by the grace of God, by the working in my life. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. And we'll go down here to the 16th verse. Wherefore, henceforth, we know we no man after the flesh. Paul still saw people. What he's talking about here is the powers that work in people's life. No more after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth we know him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. We're not living this life without this influence anymore. If we're in Christ, we have this opportunity. It's no longer just us, but we have the opportunity. We have God's presence waiting there for our life to do what's needed to be done. All right? If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Christ Jesus and hath given us this ministry of reconciliation. Any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. We have a new setup. We're not in the same old setup anymore. We're not the same old product. It's not the same old fabrication going on in our life that's been going on. By the grace of God, there's a new plan. There's a new product. There's a new fabrication to be created in us that brings about new results. When you were without Christ, did you walk all around in good works? Don't answer that question. I didn't. And I didn't like it. As much as I tried to pretend I liked it, there were so many pitfalls and just messes in my life that it wasn't enjoyable. Especially now that I know what it can be like in Christ. There's a new fabrication going on. Thank God. By the grace of God, that can happen in our life. And you know what? Remember, we got to finish with this verse here in 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. And this is where Paul's going through a situation, and I don't want you to get too lost in what Paul was going through. Although, once again, it points to the fact that the grace of God is able to accomplish things in our life that we couldn't happen otherwise. And it says, 7th verse, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Now, he's speaking now in hindsight is 20/20. From what he says here, we know that at the time, Paul was struggling with understanding why this was happening in his life because he sought the Lord to remove it from him. But once he had come through the place and the Lord had talked to him, he recognized, wait a minute, I'm glad you didn't, God, because you were working in me to prevent something that would have happened from pride. You were working on that line of pride in my life that needed to be done away with. Thank you, God, that you were doing that. But this is the message the Lord spoke to him. He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. You know what my weakness, before I had Christ, you know, wasn't perfect, didn't result in perfect, didn't create perfect results, didn't fabricate good works in my life. You know what didn't? My weaknesses. They did not fabricate good things. But now in Christ, my weakness, my problems, my situations, God can actually use them to bring victories into my life. My grace, why? Because my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, my sins, But when I realize the struggle I have in life, when I realize something and I'm facing a situation, I will recognize it as the Lord allowing something to happen to, by His grace, work a miracle in my life. A miracle. This is the miracle of all miracles. All right, look, thank God for everything He's done for us physically, but this is the miracle of all miracles. This is what it all points to. This is what it's all about. This is where the joy comes from, where the peace comes from, where the happiness comes from. It's from Him and the fact that His grace is sufficient and He's willing to give it to us to influence our lives, that His presence can work there and create His joy, His peace, and His righteousness in our life. You pray for me. If you don't know this, please seek the Lord. He would love to give it to you.